Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the Northwest University Podcast. Here at NU, we're a learning community committed to spiritual vitality, academic excellence, and empowered engagement with human need. This podcast is where we have conversations on what it means to follow Jesus as he leads us in every aspect of life.
Oh man, good morning everybody. I am so honored to be here, and I am so grateful for what God is doing here at Northwest University. I have been looking forward to seeing with my own eyes what the Lord has been doing through the leadership, through the faculty, through all that happens on this campus. I have friends here. You're now a doctor, aren't you? Congratulations, Dr. Rasmussen. Phil and Brenda Rasmussen are friends and amazing leaders, amazing people. Pastor Christian here, you guys are so blessed. And of course, Dr. Castleberry, I've had the honor to be able to spend a lot of time with him over lunch and in conversation. And he is passionate about you and about what God is doing. In fact, he bragged on you so much, I thought all of you walk on water. I expected to see that when I was here because he just thinks you are the greatest in the world, period, it as far as universities anywhere. So I am just so honored that they would trust me enough to let me come. And I want you to know I'm not here to impress you. I don't really care if you think I'm a good speaker or not a good speaker. What I care about is bringing to you what God has laid on my heart for you today, because he loves and cares for you. I work with Convoy of Hope, and Convoy of Hope has just crossed a huge, huge mark in our ministry. Over 100 million people we have helped, served, fed, responded to in disasters worldwide in the last 24 years. How many know that's a miracle right there, that 100 million people have heard the gospel and have been impacted for Jesus Christ? We respond to over 330 disasters worldwide. And in fact, how many have seen that Hurricane Michael is about to hit? It's already been raised to a category 4, and that means there's going to be a lot of devastation. We respond to every hurricane. In fact, the last year, in just 90 days, we responded to Irma, to Maria, to Harvey, to 2 earthquakes in Mexico, California fires, Montana fires, hurricane devastation in the British and American Virgin Islands. We responded to the hurricane devastation in the Turks and Caicos. Just in 90 days this last year. So I want to tell you thank you. When I heard that you gave $1,200, I got to tell you, I just graduated my last child from the University of William Jessup, where my wife is the COO at the university. And my oldest daughter is married, goes and works for K-Love. Anybody heard of K-Love? She works for them. My middle daughter is in her second year at Yale Divinity in her master's program. She's my archaeologist. In 2016, she was on the cover Biblical archaeology. She loves being out there digging up history. And my son just graduated, and he works for one of the top 7 firms in the nation as a CPA and as a and helping people with their finances. And it's all because of Christian University and the investment that they make. You're at a place where God is forming you and preparing you to change the world. I want you to know something. God is preparing you to change the world. The enemy would love for you to believe that you can't do much or you can't be much. But let me just tell you just for a second my life. I've had 2 dads that have both run off with other women, committed adultery, and left. My bio dad was a pastor who ran off with another woman. And we were so poor that one day when my mom heard me crying, she walked into the room, flipped on the light, and I was being eaten by rats in my crib. My dad wrote 5 checks. That's how valuable I was. I grew up in a home that was a war zone. My dad, who adopted me, was an alcoholic. He would put his fists through doors. He had an angry temper, and my home was not a safe place. At 6 years old, I was molested in a portable bathroom by a construction worker. I grew up with a lot of pain in my life. So when you have pain, how many know you look for anything to escape? If you hurt enough, you'll look for anything to dull the pain. And mine was drugs and alcohol. And I spent 5 years of my life hooked on drugs and alcohol. But at 19 years old, I met Jesus Christ for real on a sidewalk. I didn't get born again in a church. You know what? I was walking down the street. I was high and Jesus showed up. How many know that's not a good time for Jesus to show up? I was like, oh great, I'm in big trouble right now. But how many know God doesn't show up with a baseball bat and a lightning bolt? God shows up with his arms open wide saying that I'm not mad at you, that I love you, and I want to change your life. And he spoke to me and said, give me your life. I said, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I'm a mess. I can't live for Jesus. I can't live for you. I tried and I can't do it. And he said, doesn't matter. Give me your life. I'll take care of it. I said, but God, I can't do this. I can't live for you. He said, don't worry about it. Just give me your life. I said, but God, three times I told him, I can't do it. And he said, just give me your life. And right there on the sidewalk, I said, God, I've run it in the ditch. All the wheels have fallen off. It's a mess. But if you want it, here it is. And right on the spot, I became born again. And God delivered me instantly from drugs and alcohol, instantaneously on the sidewalk. How many know that's a miracle? That God can meet you wherever you are. And I don't care where you are in your life right now. You might be thinking that I'm on a road that is so destructive that there's no way God could use my life, that God could do anything in my life. I want you to know something. You are not bad enough for God not to use you. He saves the least, the lost, the last, and the lowest. And one drop of the blood of Jesus can change your life, change your future, your destiny. Convoy feeds 177,000 children every day, educates them, teaches them about Jesus, and we do it on $10 a month per child. How many know that is a miracle? We also help farmers increase their yield. We help women start micro-businesses. And I want to tell you thank you because your dollars are helping to change the destinies of others. I have a question for you. Have you ever asked yourself, what's the purpose of life? Maybe you've even asked yourself a more serious question. What is my purpose in life? Paul said that we should not be ignorant concerning the will of God in our life. God wants you to know his will. He won't tell you the whole story, but he'll tell you his will for your life. What is the purpose of my life? Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the purpose of life is to not be happy. It is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate, to have it make some difference that you have lived and you have lived well. At times we get distracted from the real purpose in life. We get caught up in things of how I look, how I feel, what I own, what I possess, what others think of me. We don't intentionally do that. We don't get up and say, today I'm not going to focus on purpose. But life has a way of distracting us from the most important aspects of life. What does God have to say about this? Oh, I know there have been many conversations about God's purpose. Most say it's to love God and to love people. And I agree with that. Absolutely, completely. I agree. But I believe that God even specifically speaks to purpose. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 in the New American Standard Version tells us about purpose. And this is what it says. He has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That word require means to do what's necessary, expected, and it comes from a person of higher authority that has a particular purpose for you. I like what the Message says. I'm not a huge fan of some things, but of this I like. It says in the Message Bible, but he has already made it plain to you how to live and what to do. God is looking for men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Say that with me. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in love. Don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Micah says, do justice, love mercy, love kindness, walk humbly. But let's take the phrase for the Message for a moment. Because I think that it spells it out in a way that we can understand it even better. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. We live in a time that people are constantly crying out about justice. They want justice today. I like what Dr. Martin Luther King said. Injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. Whatever affects one directly affects one indirectly. There are so many injustices that are in the world today. When I look out there and see what's going on, it bothers me immensely to see the injustices that are happening. But the good news is God uses ordinary people to change the world in which we live. One person put it this way: love is the language the deaf can hear and the blind can see. Love is the language that it takes notice. Oh, come on, we're living down in a broken down system that's torn apart by violence, greed, and global hopelessness. We're not living in a time of life, but death. You say, I don't know if I believe that, Eddie. Well, let me share this with you. Every 30 seconds, a child is aborted somewhere in the world. Every 10 seconds, a child dies from hunger-related diseases. Every 40 seconds, a child dies from suicide around the world. There are 20 to 30 million sex slaves in the world, and most of them are underage boys and girls. 80% of the world lives on $10 or less per day. How would your life change if you only made $10 a day? That's an injustice. Over 10 million children will die every year from lack of food, nutritious food, or clean water. One out of every three children or child in the world has no access to clean water. In the last 100 years, 270 million people have been killed in war, more than all of history combined. In the last 100 years, more people have been martyred for their faith than in all of church history. One every 5 minutes is martyred for their faith around the world. One every 5 minutes. Convoy works in Bulgaria. In Bulgaria, there has been an influx of Syrian refugees in the southern coast of Bulgaria. We have held 10 events. And we have done 10 events in the last 5 years, providing food and clothing and food, fuel, and preach the gospel. 66,000 have attended our events. As a result, 27 churches have been restarted, and we have planted several churches, all of them feeding thousands of people. Since 2011, when Syria came under attack by its own leaders, 6 million have fled. 6 million have left the country out of fear, and a large number of them have migrated to Bulgaria. One of those is a woman by the name of Sonia. Sonia lived in Syria in a small community where everybody knew everybody, and ISIS showed up one day in their community. And they gathered all the people together in the town square. And the general stood up in front of the entire group of villagers and said to them, reject Christ or you will lose your life today. If you're a Christian, come to the front because you're going to decide whether you're Muslim or you're going to be a Christ follower. And so Sonia, her brother, her mother, her husband, and her daughter courageously walked to the front, along with a few others that had stood in the middle of that group in that gathering. The general looked at them and said, you have a choice today. You can either become Muslim and recount your faith in Jesus Christ, or you will die. And Sonia and her family shook their head and said, we cannot reject Jesus for what he's done in our life. Again, he gave the order and said, either do it or die. And again, they said no. And so they grabbed Sonia's brother, and right in front of everybody, they decapitated him. As they began to weep and wail and cry at the loss of their brother, the leader said, either you reject Christ or you will face the same fate. Sonia, with tears running down her face, said, I cannot and will not. And so they grabbed her mother, and right in front of them, they decapitated her mother. Next, they went to her husband, and they decapitated him. The streets are now filled in that little center part is filled with blood of those that have been martyred for their faith. And Sonia and her daughter and a few others are left there. They're sobbing and weeping, but they are full of resolve. And the general realizes we're not going to be able to get them this way. So what the media doesn't tell you is that they have another wave of soldiers that step in. And these are the rapists. If you won't recount your faith through the possibility of death, they will humiliate you and they will rape you and they will treat you so badly. And they said to Sonia, either reject Christ or you will face the abuse and the humiliation. And the daughter threw herself over her mother and said, don't touch my mother, don't touch my mother, leave her alone. And something mysterious happened. For some reason, they said, you can go. It was a miracle that took place right on the spot. And Sonia and her daughter quickly fled for their life. They walked for 9 months until they came to the Convoy of Hope Oasis Center in the southern coast of Bulgaria. And today, if you go to that center, you'll find Syrian refugees that have left everything, fled for their life, and it's become an oasis. And every Sunday night, Christians gather together to worship God, to sing praises to God. And Sonia and her daughter are among those that are praising God today. It's an injustice, my friend. It's an injustice when I look around and see what's going on. And I agree. I agree that our people have a right to cry out that of the injustices. They have the right to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe they have the right to hear that God loves them and he's not mad at them. They have the right to hear that there's power in the blood of Jesus and his resurrection. They have the right to hear that Jesus is a healer, a deliverer, the author of peace, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. Yes, I believe they have the right to hear about Jesus. There's an injustice when 3 billion of the world's population has never heard the name of Jesus once. That's an injustice. It's an injustice when people every day are standing at the gates of eternity without ever knowing who Jesus Christ is. Every minute, 55 people die and go to hell without hearing the name of Jesus. Every hour, 3,333. Every day, 80,000 people a day go into eternity, having never heard the name of Jesus one time in their life. Oh, my friend, the enemy would love more than anything to get you distracted with that which is temporal, that which is not very meaningful, with that which doesn't change lives, because he doesn't want the world to have hope. And there's so many without hope. Many say to me, Eddie, what's the greatest need today? Is it food or water or nutritious food or shelter? No. The greatest need is hope. When people lose hope, they lose their ability to dream for the future. When spouses lose hope, they give up on their marriage. When parents lose hope, they give up on their children. When leaders lose hope, they give up on their people. And when people lose hope, they give up on their future. You can go 40 days without eating food. You can go 3 days without drinking water. You can go 8 minutes without oxygen, but you can't go a single second without hope. Not a single second. My wife and I were on vacation in the Dominican Republic in Punta Cana. Punta Cana is a beautiful resort area. And while we were there, we were at one of the little shows that they put on, standing in the back near the bar. And while we were there, standing there, a gentleman by the name of James was not far, and he struck up a conversation. And it was odd because James had noticed us, but we had not noticed him. And James kind of said, you know what, hey, I see you around, and I've noticed you. And I'm like, that's cool. Where are you from? I'm from Canada. And we started up a conversation. And then James said to me, if you knew what I was like, you wouldn't be talking to me today. We hadn't talked about God. I didn't tell him what I did. We hadn't discussed our job situation. He just said this, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't talk to me. He said, my uncle is a criminal. And he has trained me how to be a criminal, and I've done really bad things. Which is very odd to say to somebody you don't even know. It's like, what am I supposed to do? Say, well, nice knowing you. Have a great rest of the time. I'll be way over there, Father, in Jesus' name. No, but you know what? All of a sudden, as he was talking, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. How many know that if you'll listen, he'll talk to you? In fact, he's talking to you all the time. We just aren't always tuned in because we are so tuned into the enemy's voice, into what's happening externally, because we haven't trained ourselves to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. He's talking to you more than you realize. And he spoke to me, and he said, tell James that he's not his uncle's son, he's his father's son. And I looked at James and I said, James, I don't know if you believe in God, but God said this to me to tell you. He said to tell you that you are not your uncle's son, you're your father's son. His eyes got big. He said, what did you say? I said, you're not your uncle's son, you're your father's son. And tears began to run down his face. He said, my father died when I was young and he was a pastor. And right there on the spot, I put my arms around James. How many of you know that's a dangerous thing to do to another guy that you don't know? And I reached out and I pulled him towards me. And he collapsed on my shoulder and wept. He sobbed like a baby. And when he finished, I led James in the sinner's prayer. He came back to the Lord. He gets on FaceTime, calls his mom and says, Mom, you'll never believe who I met. And he puts the camera in my face and says, I met this guy. And Mom, I'm coming home a different person. He came without hope. He left with hope. Less than a month ago, I was in San Paulo Sula in Honduras. 2 years ago, Convoy was feeding and educating, teaching about Christ, 2,500 students. Today, it's over 13,000. By the end of the year, it'll be 20,000. One of those sites is a garbage dump up on the hill. Every garbage dump is run by the MS-13 gang. How many have ever heard of MS-13? One of the most violent in the world. Every garbage dump in Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Guatemala is run by MS-13. And they have slave labor that work the camps. And so we bring food up to them every day, give them water and food. And I went up to the camp, and there they don't run to you to get water and food because they're afraid for their life. And at one of our schools, we rescued a little boy. His name is Eddie. Eddie's 8 now, but at 6, his biggest dream was to drive a garbage truck. He used to climb in the back of the garbage trucks at 6 years old before they dumped their garbage. And he didn't get out of the way one time, and all the trash came on Eddie, buried him. He almost died. He was rescued. And he was saved, and today Eddie is in school where Convoy is feeding and teaching and letting him know about Christ. And he's a light, and today Eddie, his dream is to be an engineer. He wants to change the world. Oh, church, when you hear stories like this, you think it's overwhelming, it's impossible. 1956, five young men were murdered, speared to death by a Stone Age tribal group called the Aka Indians in the Huarani River in Ecuador. Three were in their 20s, two were in their 30s. Three graduated from Wheaton and two from Seattle Pacific. Roger Yudarian was a paratrooper. Pete Fleming was a brilliant academic. Jim Elliott was small college wrestling champ who had never been pinned a day in his life in wrestling at school those 4 years. Nate Sain, a jungle pilot. Ed McCauley, all-American football player. All were married. Most had children. And when they died, it started a missions movement. Thousands and thousands rose to the call of missions. And I went to Bethany, and Elizabeth Elliott came to Bethany. In fact, Elizabeth Elliott and Rachel Saint, the sister of Nate Saint, both went back a year later and led almost every single Aka Indian to Jesus. A year later, after losing their brother and their husband. And then Rachel spent 40 years of her life there. She's buried there outside of one of the villages. She gave her life for the Aka Indians. Elizabeth Elliott came to Bethany when I was attending. I'll never forget because we were so excited. It's like one of those people that are larger than life. I mean, here she is, lost her husband, the story of Jim Elliott and her involvement in life. And she shows up on the campus, and I couldn't wait to hear her speak. And we were finishing up worship. And the last song we sang before her introduction was, "Lord, I want to love you more than I ever have before. You're so easy to adore. Lord, I want to love you more." And Elizabeth walked to the front, and I'll never forget the words she said. She said, "You need to be very careful about what you sing, because it is easy to adore him, but it is much tougher to follow him." It's easier to talk about justice. It's easier to talk about eternity. It's easier to talk about souls. It's easier to talk about what's going on in the world. It's easier to feel bad and to feel hurt and to feel like, God, these people need help. But I want you to know something, young person. You're not here for yourself. You're here to reach the lost, advance the kingdom, to reach those that have never heard the name of Jesus, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to reach out. You have a purpose from God. And I don't care if you're an English major, a psychology major, business major, Bible major, or whatever major you may be, we all have a call in our life, and our call does not excuse us from the lost wherever we go. Do what is fair and just to your neighbors. You are the light of the world. You are the hope of the world. Be light, be love, be hope, be engaged, be generous. John Wesley said this, "Do all you can, all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can." Oh, my friend, I want you to know something. You're not the leaders of tomorrow, you're the leaders of today. Today is the day that you need to rise up and dream and plan for tomorrow. Today is the day that you prepare yourself to know the Lord, to hear the voice of God, and to begin to walk in obedience. You see, God's not interested in just giving you information. He wants you to step into obedience and revelation where you begin to live out what you are learning, because you can change the world right where you are. You can. And God wants you to change the world. I've been to places where it breaks my heart to see what's going on. In India, when I landed in Dum Dum Airport in Calcutta, India, the first thing we were introduced to was a woman who was begging and was carrying a little baby and said, "Please take my baby. Do you have money to help me?" And handed her baby to my friend. And the baby was already dead. I stood in Siberia, Russia, and where a woman, grandmother, as I was just finished giving the altar call, I knelt down and she called me close to herself. And though she could barely speak English, she grabbed my jacket and jerked me right to her face, nose to nose, and said, "Please, the Russian children and youth need to hear the message of Jesus. Don't go. Don't go. Please stay. They need Jesus." You are the hope the world, because God has put His Spirit in you. I'm out of time, so I'm not going to play that last thing. But I want you to look at me. I'm bearing my heart to you because that's what God asked me to do. It's an injustice. We can change the world if we'll engage. I can't do anything about a hurricane. I can't do anything about an earthquake or a tsunami. Can't do anything about natural disasters, but I can do something about the lost, the hungry, the forgotten, the hurting. I thank God for FEMA, but FEMA wasn't called to change the world. FEMA wasn't called to help the widows and the orphans and those that were marginalized. He called us, the church, to do that. And I say today, shake off that junk the enemy's trying to tell you that you're not good enough or you're not talented enough or you can't make a difference, and rise up in the name of Jesus and say, "Christ in me, the hope of glory, and because He's in me and with me, I can do all things through Jesus Christ." And it's not about me, it's about Him and what He's already done. He's made spectacle of the enemy. He's triumphed over the enemy. And He's given me authority so that in His name I can cast out demons. In His name I can lay hands on the sick. In His name I can share the good news and people find Christ. Rise up, because you have a purpose. Would you stand with me, please? Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, how You love these students. Oh, God, I have been gripped by Your heart for them. We live in a generation, a world of great pain, God, and some of them are in great pain because of their history. But You are the healer, the deliverer, and You will take their pain and their hurt and their suffering and their circumstances and turn it for good. Holy Spirit, would You break our hearts for lost humanity? Would You give us the heart of the Father for those that don't know You, don't know Christ? I want you to do something with me, please. Will you put your hand on the shoulder of the person on your right and left? You may not even know them. You might even be standing next to God's will for your life. Who knows? You know, I mean, make it a good prayer. You never know. But what I want to say is this. Would you pray for them that God would awaken them to His purpose, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly, to do what is fair and just for their neighbor, that they would have eyes to see and begin to step into what God wants to do. Come on, I want you to pray for that person on your right and left right now, and I want you to pray some wimpy prayer. I want you to lift your voice and go to war for them right now. Father, in Jesus' name, the enemy wants to stop people from fulfilling their purpose. Today, would you step into this scene, and would you cause the apathy to be shaken off? Would you cause the indifference, the fear to be shaken off? God, would You do a miracle right now in the name of Jesus and cause each student right now to have an awakening of purpose, an awakening, God, that their life is here because You deemed it to be here, that they're here at this school because You called them, God, to do something bigger than what they're even dreaming now, God. Give them dreams. Give them Your heart, God, and let them see Your will for their life in the name of Jesus. God, I thank You for that. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let Northwest University be a place that turns out world changers, God, that changes, that brings and raises up people that are fearless and that will step into the purposes of God for the glory of God, in Jesus' name.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. If you're interested in learning more about Northwest, go check out northwestu.edu.